Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. I was blessed with the things that were already shared with us here this morning. As I was pondering on the things to share here this morning, I was thinking about my thoughts went down the road of, decisions that we need to make and we do make, and as God's people, we try to understand what God's thoughts are in it, and it can sometimes feel pretty complicated, and So I'd like to speak on that and hopefully stir our minds and hearts and analyze our lives and see how we process those things. The title of my message here this morning is, How Do We Discern God's Will for Our Lives? And obviously, as we look at that title, and it's like, well, there's some things it feels like we just can't know. We can't totally understand or know for sure. But I think if we, as I was pondering that title, when we ask God a vague question, maybe we get a vague answer. But I believe that in many cases, that if we look deeply into the questions that we're wrestling with, and if we look at what those decisions involve, for good or not, that often God's word has something to say about some of those areas, and so we can come up with some understanding of the direction that we should be going. So with those thoughts, maybe we can just pause and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do just bow before you this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that we have, the opportunity that we have to be gathered together here this morning to study your word, to hear your word, to spend time singing praises to you. I pray, Lord, this morning again that you would just minister to each need that we have, that you would just draw our hearts to yourself and draw us together. And Lord, as we hear your word, I just pray, Lord, that you would teach us. We just want to commit this time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do we discern God's will for our lives? In just for a scripture reading, I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and just start by reading the first 11 verses in this chapter. There's just a couple of verses that I'd like to look at here, but starting in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon the mortality, might be swallowed up of life. Back to verse 3 here. So if so be that being clothed, and when we think about being clothed, we think about being clothed with Christ. And so just keep that in mind. Verse 5. Now he that has wrought us from the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So as we look at verse 10 here, and we recognize that there is going to be a judgment, and that we are going to stand before God and give an account. And the one thing that I'd like to make clear as we look at this verse is that, you know, when this time comes, we must have Christ representing our lives, and that, you know, if we're trying to do right and good, thinking about this time, that if these things are done in the flesh, you know, it's just not going to be enough. We must be covered in the blood of Jesus, and then those things that we have done that are not good, you know, those things will be hidden in this time. And so I just like to point that out. In 2 Corinthians 5, going down to verse 17 and 18, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So old things have passed away, and Christ has become new, and we have been given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then back to this chapter here in chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. When we stop and think about that verse, you know, walking by faith and not by sight, you know, there's many times when we ponder life and we realize that we don't understand, and we want to, we don't always understand what living by faith should look like. And probably it's something that, you know, as mankind, we're going to wrestle with as we face life. But, you know, sight is something that we tangibly, that we can put our hands on. And we can, it's like, I do this, and then this is going to happen, and then we end up over here. That's, you know, that's something we can wrap our minds around, and we can understand that. And for when we're doing things in our own abilities, you know, it's pretty important for us to be able to, you know, make those calculations and understand that this is where it's going to be. And, you know, walking in faith, you know, walking by faith doesn't always do that. We have to trust the Lord. Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When we turn to Matthew chapter 6 there, what is this verse talking about? It's talking about, not making our possessions too important in our work and not to worry about these things. But then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, "This we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." So we understand that this verse isn't talking about, not doing things that we need to do so we can, we're supposed to work and take care of things. But I think the focus here is in verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And as I was processing that verse, I think it's talking about, stressing and worrying. And it's like, figuring out how we can always be ahead. But rather that we would just, trust those things to the Lord. And, coming back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 there, "For we walk by faith and not by sight," and I think that's an area that this is talking about is, we don't have to figure all those things out, but rather we rest in the Lord and just give it to God. In John chapter 6, verse 32, I'll start reading here. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So we look at this passage here, and we look at the calling that Jesus had. He in verse 38 that he acknowledged that he wasn't here to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him, his Father. The question is, did Jesus know what his Father's will was for him? And we see that in verse 39 and 40 that, he did. That looks pretty pretty that looks desirable. When we look at that and it's like, well, you know, if I had clear direction of what I'm supposed, what God's will is for my life, you know, as a believer, we would feel pretty excited about that at times when it's like, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do, and we go for it. In just looking at some other verses here in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, you know, it tells us here, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And so when we think about that verse, and, you know, if we're searching out to, you know, for marriage or are married, we look at that and it's like, well, there's some clear instruction, some clear direction of, you know, there. But if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, Paul says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. You know, so Paul is saying something, you know, a little bit different. But if we read that chapter, we understand that he does embrace marriage, but he would make it sound in this verse like, you know, maybe this is better, or it at least, you know, it's going to change your life. So if we, you know, as I look at those two verses, and I believe that God's calling is for many to be married, and it's something that God blesses, and when it is done in the Lord. But something I think that we have to understand, if and when you marry, your calling, your responsibilities, and God's will for you is going to change with that life calling. And so, you know, as a single person, and Paul points this out, you know, there's things and places that you can go, and there's a work that you can do freely when you're single. But as a married person, you know, there's, you know, when we look at God's word, it teaches us the things that we should be doing as a married person that a single person doesn't have the privilege of doing. And so, you know, if we're in one or the other of these situations, we can pretty quickly, by God's word, we can get a clear picture of what my responsibilities are. As a single person, God's calling on your life is different than as a married person. And we can find verses to encourage us in that. So I think it's important to understand that, you know, as we change, as God takes us through life, and as we enter into different areas in life, that we understand, you know, what God's call and what his will is for our lives in those areas. In Romans chapter 1, you know, as we look at Paul and look at verse 9 and 10, and Paul's, I think, was traveling here. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a purpose journey by the will of God to come unto you. You know, it seems like here when I, you know, looking at Paul and his desire to be, his heart was after these people, and he had a desire to go to them and to teach them, is there a verse here that says that God said that I should, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. I don't exactly see that here, but, you know, it does seem like God laid a burden on his heart for these people, and he had a relationship with them. And so he made that journey. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, in this journey, did he know exactly how things were going to play out? You know, no, he was entrusting that journey to the Lord. And so that's, you know, those are some things that we have to do. So we read that, you know, earlier that Jesus understood what God's will was for him and what part of his journey was going to look like. And again, the question that I would like to ask us this morning is, how can we be in that place? And how can we search those things out and have that confidence? Does God care where we live? Does it matter to him what church we go to, which job we have? When we move, you know, where we move? Or for the younger people, you know, if you're looking at, you know, your single life and someday you would like to be married, you know, does it matter to God who you marry? Those are all questions that we face in life, and there's many, many more. And you know, if we go into God's word, and it's, you know, it's like, well, I really want to live in Maine, and you live somewhere else, you know, you're probably not going to find an answer for that question. You know, whether what part of Maine you should live, you know, those are answers that we're not going to find. What kind of church, you know, we go to, you know, if we put the name Beacon of Light, we're not going to find a verse that says, well, you should be at that particular church. But we can find, you know, if we're looking, you know, for direction in, you know, what kind of, you know, fellowship that we are part of, we can see that, you know, there's verses that will encourage us to, you know, remember the people that we hang out with. You know, we're going to become like them. And to be aware of false teachers. And so, you know, we start looking at these verses and applying them to our lives. We will realize that God does give us direction in these areas. And, you know, what kind of job should I have? You know, does God really... You know, God is a personal God, but, you know, whether we choose to be a construction worker or whether we want to be a welder or, you know, maybe an office person, you know, if we look for support in it's like, well, I need an answer. We're probably not going to get a direct answer, but, you know, if we understand our life calling, and that is to serve the Lord, you know, we think about we think about, you know, as I take on this job versus another job, we think about the impact that I might have on people, or even more, we might think about whether, you know, can I live my Christian life in this position? Marriage, you know, who should I marry? And God isn't going to say it needs to be. I don't believe that, in at least not in the beginning stages, that this is the person. But he, you know, if we search scripture out, it's going to show us the kind of person that we're looking for, the kind of person that God would be pleased with us pursuing. And, you know, as we, if we pay attention to those things, God is going to start pointing you in a direction. And so, yes, God will show you where you're supposed to be in these things. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So what do we see in these verses here? You know, we see someone is applying themselves. You know, it's asking, seeking, knocking. And, you know, it's not just aimlessly going down through life and wondering why nothing is happening. But it's seeking these things out and trying to understand. Verse 21 in this chapter. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We see a relationship here, you know, someone that is seeking God out. And so we see the importance of this. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17 tells us, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so it is important in life that we understand what God would have us to do. And, you know, that when we just stop and ponder that, you know, we can find encouragement in that, or maybe we can find, it's like, well, that sounds, you know, it's like, well, what if I make the wrong decision? Some verses that I'd like to just look at, and hopefully we can find some encouragement as we ponder that verse there in Ephesians 5. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verses that talk about living for the Lord, living, verse 2 here says, you know, being in the perfect will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And as we look at these verses, and there's many more verses that we can look at that I'm not going to look at, but you know, as we look at making decisions for our lives, you know, whether it's moving or, you know, what state I should live in or what church I should be in or the job that I should have or maybe even, you know, some of the hobbies that we like to take on. And we start, you know, applying verses, God's word. You know, how does that fit? How does Romans 12 verse 2 fit into any one of these situations? And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, you know, how does that? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Chapter 4 verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You know, as we look at making decisions, hobbies, jobs, you know, you name it, and we start looking at these verses, you know, how will that help us? How will it discourage us in these areas? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So, if we take on a certain hobby, you know, that often when we take on something, it surrounds people. And the people that we're surrounded with, are they someone that's going to support us and encourage us in these verses? Or are they going to, it's like, yeah, if I'm faced with ungodly people in this situation with this surrounding, I'm just not going to be able to do that. I'm just, you know, I know that I can't live a life that is going to represent Christ with the type of people that I'm surrounded with. And so, you know, we can choose to move forward and find ourselves like failing, or we can understand God's will in that situation for us is like, well, yeah, that I know that God doesn't want me to fail and he wants me to be represent him well, and so I just can't be in that place. And in those ways, we can understand and we can start narrowing down where God would have us to be. In James 1, verse 22, it tells us to be the doers of his word. And so, you know, so we need to seek out places that we can do that. And Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And, you know, those are things that we know, we understand our calling, our what God wants to use us in. He wants to speak to others through us. And so let's be faithful in that. In 3 John chapter 1, 3 John 1 verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, walking in truth, how important is that? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 talks about, you know, being truthful in how important it is. So, you know, we can, and there's many, many more verses that we can take, and we can start filtering, if we can learn to filter our lives through God's Word, we can be, we will be amazed in the direction that we get. And again, you know, we, Matthew 7 there, is it verse 21, talks about, you know, seeking and knocking and praying and seeking God's will. You know, it's there for us. It's here for us if we want to, you know, if we want to understand what that is. So, you know, if we have questions in, you know, we can find answers for our lives in God's Word, and then we can, you know, move forward in confidence. In closing, you know, I think, you know, something that maybe we spend too much time doing and we get distracted on is we focus on, well, what should I do? Is it A or Z? And so we choose to do A, and we, you know, then the going gets tough, or maybe we make a mistake. It's like, well, maybe I was supposed to do Z. And we find ourselves struggling. And it is important, I think, to, you know, consider the things we do. But I think something that we need to pay more attention to is not on what I'm doing, but when you look at the instruction that we get in God's Word, it focuses a lot on who we are and how I'm living. And if we, you know, we come to a place and it's like, well, yeah, I believe God wants me to do this. And then we can, with confidence, you know, can we focus on, okay, who am I? How am I doing it? And we focus on doing it the best that God has given us, and we give it everything we have. You know, it would be easy if God said, well, I want you to live in this county, in this state. I want you to hold this job. And I want you to go to this church. But, you know, what kind of what kind of relationship would that be, you know? In closing, James chapter 1. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so, let's make a purpose our hearts to do that, and just as we allow God to speak to us. You know, in Matthew 7, verse 28, as Jesus was teaching them, and they were astonished at his teachings, the way that he taught them. And as we use God's word to find direction in our lives, I believe that we can be astonished at the direction that God gives us. May the Lord bless.